for the word.
I'm excited. I said, ooh, Bishop, them have never been out of town on a church anniversary. But of course, you know, we had celebrate our church anniversary also in October. And so this is just the start of the church anniversary celebration. You know, we like to do everything month long. We celebrate our birthdays for a month. We celebrate church anniversary for a month. So this is the kickoff to the church anniversary. And of course, our West location is 2 years old today as well. So I'm just excited. All right. And of course, you know, our bishop and first lady are watching. Our bishop is watching. I think our first lady is doing something with her best friend or something like that. So they're getting much needed rest. And we always like for our bishop to get rest. Amen. He always comes back recharged and refreshed to minister a dynamic word. Amen. Let's get into the word for today. Malachi 3, verse 7. It's been our foundational passage in this series of lessons. Verse 7 says, even from the days of your fathers, you were gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, said the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye've robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You should underline that. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. This has been our foundational scripture in this new series of teaching that we've been doing on preparing for your outpouring. And this series was birthed out of a prophetic word from our bishop that we would experience an outpouring in October. And anytime you have a prophetic word, you should always be able to go into the scripture and see it backed up in the scripture. And we begin to look at outpourings in the Bible and the various outpourings that were prophesied in the scripture. And one that we've been specifically looking at for the past couple weeks is this outpouring that Malachi prophesied concerning the tithes and the offerings. And this whole series is really to stimulate your faith, because for every promise in the Word of God, for every principle, for every prophecy, there is a faith process to bring it to pass. And so even though I may hear a prophecy and I see a promise in the Word of God, it still requires my faith to bring it to pass. And so we've been teaching you on preparing for the outpouring so we can stimulate your faith and you can raise your level of faith expectation to believe God for an outpouring in your own personal lives. And we said that outpouring was really a divine move of God. It's God intervening in your situations and in your circumstances and in your life. It's a divine move of God that causes it. It's an overflowing discharge of kingdom blessings, of protection, of power, of provisions that holds tipping point potential that causes the lives of those who receive to never be the same. That once I've experienced the outpouring, that there's a tipping point moment where my life is never the same after that moment. You know, and it's so great that today is the Sunday that Bishop stood up 27 years ago and declared that we would no longer be New Light Missionary Baptist Church, but New Light Church World Outreach and Worship Centers, and declared the vision of our ministry, that it was in that moment that caused a tipping point moment in the life of this church that catapulted our ministry to a whole nother level. Yes, 277 didn't have the faith to believe, but because 23 believed and trusted the man of God and trusted the word of God that was given to our bishop, we have seen just an outpouring on this ministry. We've seen the hand of God on this ministry. We've seen this ministry go to a whole nother level from 23 to 20,000, and the things that Bishop declared that God had told him years ago have come to pass. One church in multiple locations, 20,000 plus strong, will take the gospel by way of the world. And so, like, you know, we're on Daystar now daily starting this week. We're on TBN. We're getting ready to do a test on BET. We're taking the message of the good news around the country because one man, one day, and a woman were bold enough to trust the word of God against all odds and expect a divine move of God. And that's what we want to do, is that as our bishop has declared, this season of outpouring is to stimulate your faith to trust God at a higher level than you've ever trusted him before. To trust him to do something supernatural in your life. And turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Because as we've been looking at this outpouring, that outpouring in October, and October is very significant for us. It's significant because it's the time that we give a specific target seed for our fall vision campaign, for the work of the kingdom of God, but also tapping into this prophetic word, our tipping point seed. That's that time we'll do that. It's significant because we celebrate our church anniversary in the month of October, but it's also significant because of the thousands of pastors and leaders that come from across the country to be ministered to be poured into, to go back into their churches and do a greater work for God. We've seen success before, but I know that when our man of God says he hears from God, I'm in expectation of an outpouring like never before, a manifestation of miracles, and like he taught in a couple weeks ago, an unstoppable favor and grace to come upon our lives and come upon this ministry. But you have to be willing to release your faith for it. And so on today, I'm just really going to just piggyback on what Bishop has been teaching us concerning this, because, you know, we took several weeks and we began to look at this prophetic word that's prophesied by Malachi concerning the tithes and offerings. And we said that over the course of this series, we would look at various prophetic prophecies in the Bible concerning outpouring, that we would look at the one concerning protection and concerning power. And we said that this series is really important because the Bible says that we're to put ourselves in remembrance of the word of God. And really what we're doing is stirring up. And a lot of times you'll hear scriptures that you've heard before, but as you hear them again, it'll build you up in faith to release your faith on some things that you may have kind of scaled back on and said, oh, I forgot I should be releasing my faith for that. Oh, I should be confessing for that. Oh, I'm going to release my faith for the outpouring so that I just don't watch everybody else experience it, but I experience it in my own life as well. And we said that tipping point is a metaphorical statement. It means something that's unique has happened, that changes things immediately and sets into motion an unstoppable chain of events. And as we've been looking at the tithing factor, we said last week that tithing is more than just operating this mandate in the scripture, but it's a place where you trust God to keep his word, to do the not knowing. It's operating at a not knowing level in your life. You know, the will of God is not going to automatically come to pass in our lives, but we have to use our faith. We have to do our part. And so as we're in this series, I'm just going to tie into what Bishop is teaching. And Bishop taught, and just, I mean, so eloquently did it. And I've been tithing since I was a little girl, but I was blessed by the part portion on tithing. But the prophet Malachi says tithes and offerings. So to just hear half of it is not enough. We got to look at this other portion concerning the offerings, because there is a dynamic breakthrough power concerning strategic giving. And strategic giving is when I'm giving, that my giving, it has a target to it, and I'm naming the seed for a specific promise that's established in the word of God. And the Bible says that God will bless me because of not only my tithe, but also my offerings. So I want to go beyond the 10% today. And when Bishop talked about and told his testimony, he said that when he started tithing, he started giving $6.50, but he didn't stop there, that even though his bills had bills and needs had needs and he had to pick which bill, he still gave an offering, because the tithe has a promise, but there's also a breakthrough power when I strategically give. You know, I have 2 points for today's lesson, I think y'all gonna be a good class. The West was a great class. Great. Phenomenal. Do I sound a little biased? It's okay. It's okay. But I got 2 points. First point we're gonna talk about, that how God responds to man's offering is revealed fact in the scripture. That God responds to our offerings. That when we give, it gets God's attention. And then we're going to talk about what man has to do, that man's responding to God's offer to give offerings, that it requires a focus, a spiritual focus. But let's deal with the first part about this whole thing with God asking us to give an offering. Now, I always like to break things down. How many of y'all are real true grocery store shoppers? Okay. So you go to the grocery store, you load your grocery cart up. You don't just walk out the store. You stop at the cashier and you give your offering. because you want to take the groceries that you just walked up and down the aisles for home. We don't fuss about that. Even though milk used to be a dollar and now it's $4, they didn't raise the level of the offering for milk. We so gladly go to the checkout and now we can do it ourselves. We don't even need no help. We can scan our own groceries. Fulfill that dream of maybe one day we want to scan and sack. You could do it all yourself. But we don't fuss about the offering. We willingly do it because it's a part of the process. If I want my groceries, if I want to receive my groceries, I got to give the offering. They'll take us to jail if you try to walk out the grocery store without giving your offering first. Football season. Texans fans in the house. You're not just going to show up at the Reliance Stadium and say, let me in. I want to get in. Let me in. Where's your ticket? I don't have a ticket. But I want to get in. I live in Texas. Why I can't come in? Got to give your offering. You get your ticket, you get access in. You go to the doctor. Because you want wisdom from the doctor about your situation. You got to give an offering. And now, they don't let you go see the doctor first. They want you to pay before you even fill out your paperwork. You tell them your name and what time your appointment is. And the next thing is $25 copay. $5 copay. But we never flinch about those offerings. But then when somebody says that God responds to my offering, it's almost a repulsive term to think that God would move based on my giving. But when I look in the scripture, it's clear to see that God responds to man's offering. And if I can accept it in the natural, why can't I accept it in the spirit realm? Knowing that when I give God an offering and I strategically target my seed for a promise in the word of God, he's one that he does not fail. He cannot lie. He must show up. But just so you don't think I made something up this morning, the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So let's look in the Bible and let's see how God shows us and how the word of God backs this thing up about God responding to our offering. Verse 6 says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. It sounds like if I want the grace, before I can get the grace, he says, be a cheerful giver. He says, don't sow sparingly, but sow bountifully. Because God loves a cheerful giver. And when you give cheerfully, God will make all grace. He will make people who don't even really want to help you. He'll make them help you. He'll cause grace and favor to abound to your account. But I position myself for the grace abounding to my account when I give. Sound like God responds to my giving. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10. God responds to man's offerings, and we can see it clearly in the scripture. And we have to accept this fact that God does require and respond to our offering. And although it may be controversial, we can see it clearly in the scripture and we cannot ignore it. And it's so good to know that you go to a church that's willing to teach even controversial stuff, that years ago that Bishop decided that he was going to teach a refreshing word and teach the word of God so that not only it changed our lives, but it would change the life of the people that would hear the word of God. Because it would almost be, I like to say, highway robbery of us to know that God will intervene in your situation, in your circumstances, in your life when you're willing to give an offering and not tell you. Are you in Mark chapter 10? I love this story right here, Mark 10. But before I can read verse 30 and show you what happens, we got to back up a little bit and give a little history. Jesus tells the story of the rich young ruler. So obviously he had money. Rich young ruler shows up on the scene. He says, Jesus, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And so Jesus begins to talk to him and he says, I've done all that since I was a boy. I've obeyed my parents. I've kept the commandments, but I'm missing something in life. What do I need to do? And Jesus says, go sell what you have, get to the poor that you may find treasure in heaven. He says, hold on, wait a minute, stop the press. What you mean, sell what I have? And the Bible says that he went away grieved because he had great possession. He was unwilling to give an offering to get what he wanted from Jesus. But he didn't have an opportunity to hear the end of what the result was going to be if he had really obeyed. Because Peter is listening by, and I just love Peter because Peter, he just say what was on his mind. He said, now, you done told him that if he'll do this, he'll find treasure in heaven. Jesus, we've been here with you all this time. We done left our families. We've been rolling with you. So what's going to happen for us? And Jesus says it so well in verse 29. It says, verily I say unto you, there's no man that left house or brother or sister or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake in the gospel, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, not when I get to heaven, but this time, houses and brethren and sister and mother and children and land with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. Jesus says in this scripture that God guarantees 100-fold return, that when I give an offering, I'm guaranteed a return. He says, there's nothing that you're going to give up for the gospel's sake that I won't pay you back. And the rich young ruler missed out on opportunity to take his life to the next level because he saw what was in his bank account or what was in his hand as all that was possible and as a loss when Jesus said, sell it. But he didn't realize he was trying to get him to a whole nother level of living. Bible says that he'll open up the windows of heaven of blessings, that he'll cause grace to abound to our account. So in the mouth of two or three witnesses, we can establish that God responds to our offering. Solomon wanted something from God, and God asked him for an offering, and God granted him what he requested, and God responded. Solomon gave, God responded. Abraham wanted wisdom on a situation. He gave God an offering and God responded. The widow woman, she was about to eat her last meal and die, but the Bible says that she gave to the prophet first and she was sustained. The Bible says that she and her house did eat many days. Peter allowed Jesus to use his boat, and then Jesus says, I can't let you give up your boat and allow me to do something. Give me an offering of your boat and not turn around and bless you back. So he says, go back into the area where you were denied before and you didn't have success before. I want you to go back into those same waters and watch me bless you. And the Bible says that Peter was blessed so that he had to call his homies to partake of the blessing. All because he was willing to give an offering. He had started that morning at a loss, but he was willing to give an offering to allow Jesus to use his boat, and it turned not only his situation around, but he was blessed to be a blessing. The Bible says that Hannah vowed to the Lord and God responded. She vowed and gave to God and God responded. So it's scriptural to see that God responds to our offerings. But what is the position of man? Because if I'm going to do this and I'm going to have success and I'm going to reap the benefits, then I have to choose to reach a place of focus. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Because to really participate in God's offering system, where I'm giving and I'm targeting my seed and I'm sowing and I'm tithing and I'm giving offering, I'm not stopping at the 10%, but I'm doing more than the 10%. When I do that, it's a matter of my focus. I've got a scriptural focus that this is a way for me to live at a whole nother level. I'm focused that this is a promise in the word of God, and I'm going to activate the promise in his word. And my focus has to be on the cause and not the can'ts. Because if I start focusing on the can'ts, then I will forfeit what God wants to do in my life. But if I'm focused on the cause, I will have the fortitude to stay the course that gives birth to potential, and I will not let others abort my potential. See, cause is a reason for my commitment that anchors your passion. See, I love David. David shows up on the battlefield. He does not focus on the can'ts. He focuses on the cause. And then you have to decide that I'm not going to focus that I can't start tithing and giving offerings because I got this bill. And I can't because I got this. And I can't because I got that. And I can't because I got that. The can'ts have no place. My focus has to be on the cause. David shows up on the battlefield. The giant is bigger than him. All the real soldiers that are supposed to be able to fight him are terrified. And David shows up and says, yeah, I may not be the soldier. I may not have trained like you trained, but is there not a cause? I'm not going to let this uncircumcised Philistine defile the living God. He says, I'm not going to let it happen. You've got to decide in your own life. I'm so focused and committed to the things of God. I'm not going to let nothing keep me from participating in God's plan. My eye is focused on the cause. I'm focused on honoring God with my life. I'm focused on demonstrating that he's really Lord of my life. That is why I was created. And the Bible says in Matthew 6 verse 22 that if the light of the body is the eye, and if therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. It's not about what I can, but it's about what I've committed to do. And I understand that the sovereign purpose for my offering is that I'm honoring God every time I give an offering. I understand that the sovereign purpose for my offering is not only am I honoring God, but I'm demonstrating who's really Lord of my life. I'm so thankful that he saved me and that he put me in my right mind. I could be somewhere else outside of the will of God. I could be on the street corner, but I'm thankful that he clothed me, that he put me in my right mind, that he saved me, that he gave me another chance. And so to give God an offering of my best is just a little bit to do. Because every time I give, it's not just about the kingdom project. Although my purpose of giving is to take care of the kingdom work, it's beyond that because I'm demonstrating, God, you're really Lord. So it's a sovereign purpose to honor God. It's a sovereign purpose. That's a demonstration of my lordship. But then it's the sovereign purpose of us giving offering is to take care of the kingdom work. We become like the people in the Bible. That they brought of their substance and they built. You know, we're blessed, and I'm blessed because I've watched generations be a blessing. But it's so good when you move to the place of being a taker to being a giver. And you can walk in these buildings and say, I helped build this. I did this. You see your works, you see your money put to work, and then, you know, it's just good. How many of you all were blessed or you heard about our ministry through television? Okay. Just think about where you were the day when you start watching the program. You may have been in a church that wasn't really teaching you the word of God, but you could count on turning to television and hearing the simplistic, integral word taught by a man of God or a woman of God. You may have been in a situation where you were, you know, on drugs or whatever, but you were flipping the TV late one night and you saw Bishop teaching the word of God, and it ignited a passion in you to want to know, let me find out a little bit more about that church. Well, you're here now and you get Bishop live and live in color every Sunday. And you may not even be at home when we come on TBN, or you may not be up when we come on Daystar, but there's somebody else out there that's just like you that needs you to support the television ministry so that they can be blessed just like you. I cannot forget that I'm a benefactor of somebody else sowing their seed so that the ministry of the gospel could be going by way of television. So I'm giving because I want to move from the position of being a taker to being a giver. That's the sovereign purpose for our giving. It's the order of God that we do that. And then the sovereign purpose for our offering is so that we access the promises of God. There are promises that are tied to specific offerings. And if I want to access the promise, I got to be willing to give. If I want to get into the game, I need a ticket. And I understand I need a ticket. Well, I want to reap the promises. And if I want to reap the promises, then that means I got to get in position, and I position myself by giving my offerings. So for a moment, let's take some time and look at the promises that are available to our offerings. That when we give, turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Because when you really understand the promise And you understand that your kingdom giving connects you to the divine promises of God and a quality of life. You decide you're not going to be ashamed of it because you see it clearly in the Word of God. I make no apologies because I understand my giving made room for me. My giving causes me to live a first-class lifestyle. My giving causes me to live above, you know, natural circumstances. My giving is making room for me. So if some, you want to know how I'm doing it? I'm a giver. Are you in Philippians 4? Before we read that, the seed faith offering principle is based on the purpose of heart relative to the divine promise. I'm doing it because it's a heart matter, but I also love God so much that he always attaches a promise to my giving. Philippians 4:13. And actually, I probably want to start. I'm going to read up a little bit because I want you to see what this specific strategic giving is about. Verse 15 says, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the thing which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Here's a promise in the Word of God that he will supply all our needs. And he promises a first class lifestyle according to his riches and not our own. But it's the giving to strategic to spiritual partnership that causes that promise come to pass. So when I sow into my man and woman of God, then I position myself for the promise of a first class lifestyle. I may not make first class money, but because I'm sowing into the man and woman of God, I'm living at a level not on my standard, but on God's standard. Turn to Malachi chapter 3, because that's not the only promise that we can see in the scripture attached to our giving. There's a promise in the Bible that God will intervene to judge wrongful situations. You in some situations where you've been treated wrong and you've been wrong. The Bible says that I can sow a seed targeted to that and God will intervene and judge the matter. Malachi 3 verse 4, it says, then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness. It didn't just say a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against the false swearers, against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow, the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not, saith the Lord of hosts. He says, and I love it in the Message translation, because in the Message translation, he says, I'll present a compelling evidence against those who wronged you. You got an employer that's not treating you right when it comes to your wages. He says, I'll take care of it. Your offerings causes me to get involved and I will judge the matter. Not only is there a promise of a first class lifestyle connected to my offerings and strategic giving, there's a promise of God's intervention. There's also the promise of God's favor. We read it in the opening in the second text in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8. But then there's a promise for wisdom. And that's why you cannot take the moments that we have where we ask you to make a vow lightly. Because the Bible says in Job 22 that if I'll make a vow and pay it, I can decree a thing. It shall be established unto me, and the light of God's favor will shine upon my path. The light is that God will give me wisdom to get the thing I've decreed. If I need wisdom for living and wisdom for life, the Bible says that my vowing and paying opens that door for me. And then not only is there a promise on a first class lifestyle for my offering, a promise to judge those wrongful situations, but there's also the promise of reciprocal blessing. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. So when I give to support another man's vision and what God told another man and put in a man's heart, then when I go to God based on my own visions and dreams, I can remind God, I sowed into the vision. that you've given our bishop. And so God, your word says that what you make happen for others, you'll make happen for me. So God, I thank you that you're raising up people to help my dreams come to pass, to help my business come to pass, because God, I've been faithful in this area. Ephesians 6 verse 8. It says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And then there's the promise of God repaying us back. The Bible says that when you give to the poor, he sees it as a personal loan. He makes a promise to pay us back. There's also the promise of increase to save, that when we give our first fruit offerings, that there's a sevenfold blessing that comes upon our seed. So it's clear in the Bible that God makes promises when we give. And he's not a man like man. He cannot tell a lie. If he said it, he must bring it to pass. So seeing all the promise, why is it that some saints forfeit and they miss out on the potential of their seed sown? They forfeit the offering moment because they underestimate the supernatural potential that's available to them. And I don't want you to miss it and forfeit what God wants to do in your life by allowing the naysayers and the negativity and all that to get you to miss out on it. But there's a supernatural advantage that's available to the believer through God's offering system. And the good news is that those who will be like our bishop, who will see it and act upon it and release your faith for it, then it causes you to live a supernatural life. It opens up the doors of possibility for you. And supernatural potential of offerings is manifested through the power of our focus. It's through the partnership of our Father. It's through our faithfulness. And then it's also through our faith, as we practice faith, that I step into a place of supernatural potential because I'm focused that seeking first the kingdom of God is what's really going to pay off. See, I've got a focus that I'm going to do it God's way. And that life becomes exciting because now I've got all these promises that God has to show up in my life. I'm excited to watch God open up the doors of opportunity. And Matthew 6:33 says, when I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto me. And then if you go up in the scriptures before that, it says, take no thought what you shall eat or what you shall drink or how withal shall you be clothed. It says, you don't even have to worry about that because I got it covered, because you're going after the kingdom. I'm not going to miss the supernatural potential that's available to me by losing my focus on the other issues. I'm going to stay focused on his kingdom. Then it's an opportunity that's manifested as I practice my faith. When I do things that are beyond human understanding, like when Bishop was sitting in the office, when we purchased the Crown, actually when we went to lease the Crown Park facility, and he's sitting there with a check that's no good. And he tells the man, with, you know, going as far as his integrity will take him, here's a check. I want to lease the building. Here's my, you know, I got a church, shared the vision. He says, but the check is no good. But if you give me this many days, I'll make it good. And as he acted on faith, the man not only took the check that was no good, but he remodeled the place because it was an empty warehouse. He fully remodeled the place on a check that was no good. When I'm willing to give God my offerings, I'm now practicing faith and watch God open up doors of opportunity for me. Then it positions me, you know, and I get so excited about that because when you practice in faith, you get to make your own testimony. It's good to tell somebody else's testimony, but when you practice in faith and you watching God do it for you, you understand I'm in the making of my own testimony. And then I move to the place where I partner with the Father. I'm not worried about getting some physical partner. I got the best partner on my team. I'm in partnership with the Father. He sees all. He knows my end from my beginning. He's got my back in this situation. I got the best partner on my side. So when I start thinking about my future, I'm not concerned about who's with me. I'm not concerned about if I got a boo or if I don't have a boo, because I got my partner, the Father, and he's working on my case. And then I understand it's time for me to demonstrate my faithfulness. It's time for me to show God that I'm faithful. I'm not going to scale back. I'm not going to get weary in well doing. I will reap in due season if I faint not. So yes, I gave an offering last year. And yes, I participated in the month of March. But I'm excited because I'm participating in this tipping point seed. And I need God to tip some situations in my life. I need an unstoppable measure of grace and favor to start flowing in my life. And the Bible says in Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of the Lord, you might receive the promise. Supernatural results always show up when you're willing to do it again. I understand that it's my faithful persistence that positions me for supernatural results. It's something about the again thing. It's something about God doing it again. So because I want him to do it again, I got to be willing to do it again. I thank God that he healed me before, but I want him to heal me again. I thank God he's been faithful before, but I need him to be faithful again. And when I go through the scriptures, I've watched God and I can see that God is one that blesses and results show up when I do it again. The Bible says when he was talking about the Philippian church, he said, you met my necessities once and again. And he says, because you did that, now my God shall supply all your needs. They got a breakthrough result of abundance because they were willing to do it again. Abraham, his inheritance revelation that he needed was after he gave again. The widow woman, she could have stopped at the water. But the prophet said, don't stop right here. Fear not. I need you to do it again. Go make me a cake first. You cannot let the enemy come in and get you to miss out and start saying, well, I've already gave once before. I've already did it before. I got to be willing to do it again because Jesus was willing to do it again. The Bible says he had healed the blind man, but he didn't stop there. He did it again. He made the lame to walk, but he didn't stop there. He did it again. He caused the lepers to be cleansed and healed. He didn't stop there, but he was willing to do it again. And because he was willing to do it again, when he could have stopped and said, I've done a great work here on earth, he says, no, nevertheless, not my will. Yeah, I may be looking at some bitter things in the cup, but not my will, thine will be done, because I understand if I go to the cross and take on this situation once again, healing will come again. Deliverance will come again. And on Calvary, we see the power of an again offering. I can't just let Jesus do his part, but I gotta be willing to do it again. I gotta be willing to confess again. I gotta be willing not only to just give again, but take my level of commitment back to a higher level, because I want to do it again. Because if I do it again when I sow, I can expect an again harvest. And once I sow again, I gotta harvest again. When I do it once, I can expect him to come through again. If he healed me before, he's gonna heal me again. If he opened up doors before, he's going to open them up again. So yes, I confessed it once before and I didn't see much change, but I'm going to keep confessing. If I intentionally praise and glorify God at all times, I'm expecting real soon a move of God in my life and more money in my hands than I've had in a long, long time. I may go to the mailbox and see another bill, but I'm not going to stop confessing, because if I do it again, he's got to show up with supernatural results. So I keep saying, because I am intentionally praising and glorifying God at all times, I'm expecting real soon a move of God in my life, and outpouring on my life, and more money in my hands than I've had in a long, long time. It's tipping point time. I'm going to set my faith to give $1,000 again, because I want to see the supernatural power of God show up again. I'm not going to let nobody take me off my confession. I'm going to keep doing it again. Sowing to my man of God again, because I'm believing for a first class lifestyle. I'm going to keep giving up my time, because I'm expecting God to do it again. I'm expecting unstoppable grace and favor to pour upon my life again. And because I am intentionally
praising and glorifying God at all times. I'm expecting real soon a move of God in my life and more money in my hands than I've had in a long, long time. Not going to stop with the confession. Not just going to do the giving, but I'm going to give up my life. Because when I make him Lord, and I may have missed the mark and got off track, but when I say, God, I'm going to surrender to you again, he shows up and shows out. He does not put me at the back of the line, but he puts me right back in line. I got to be willing to say yes to God one more time and do it again and watch him do something supernatural in my life. God bless you. Give Minister Egan's a big hand clap as he comes to receive the heart.